I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas.
How are you? We have such a great show today. I think, like,
I swear.
I don't want to spend too much time and just wasting on us, Paulina. I just want to give this space to Audrey. She was so great. I think that, you know, we talk about faith, we talk about divorce, we talk about challenges, we talk about servant leadership. I think this episode is going to be one of my favorites. And she's so vulnerable. She's so great. And just, I think the message at the end of the day was, how can we trust that God loves us unconditionally? And I think, this is a great one.
Right up our alley, right up at what we're doing, where we are in our life, sister. And I think Audrey is a perfect guest for this week and for our lives at this moment. So Audrey is a life and confidence coach with over 10 years of experience helping Latina women build confidence through solid habits. She takes a holistic approach, focusing on nurturing the mind, body, and soul through daily disciplines and grounding techniques. Born of Dominican parents, Audrey understands firsthand how daughters of immigrants are prone to struggle with indecision, setting boundaries, and finding their voice. Her coaching results in self-aware, self-confident clients who trust themselves and their vision for the future. Audrey's own journey from the music industry to running her family's supermarkets inspired her to become a life coach. She's also a mother of three boys and enjoys salsa dancing in her free time. Thank you, Audrey, for being here this week. And again, yeah, this is one of my favorites. Take notes. Share it with a friend.
Share it with a friend.
Share it with a friend. Share it with that friend that you think needs it. This is a good one. This is a gold one. Without further ado, here is an interview with Audrey Diaz. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Welcome to the show, Audrey.
I am so honored to be here speaking to you girls. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time. We always say this, but like, it's always meant to be. I know that my sister was on your podcast recently and I didn't know while we were talking to you. And then here you are. So it was meant to be.
It really is serendipity. It really is.
It really is. So, well, before we jump into our interview and conversation, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, who you live with, what you do, all things fun, all things Audrey, please.
So my name is Audrey Diaz. I am a life and confidence coach. Recently, and I guess we could talk about this definitely, I've been more of a faith-based coach. Certain changes in my life have brought me into also wanting to integrate my faith more into the work that I do with women. I am a first-generation Latina. I am daughter of Dominican immigrants. And I love that I'm speaking to both of you because especially speaking to Bricia last week, our stories are very similar. My parents started a business that my brothers and I have taken over, which is part of what I do. And I am the mom of three boys, two men, one little guy. Keep me so busy.
How old are your boys?
I have a 13-year-old and we're in the middle of everything high school. We just got into the high school that he wanted to go to. So that's a whole new world that's opening up.
Congratulations.
For us now. Thank you. Thank you. It was a little hectic there for a moment. I have an 11-year-old about to turn 12 and a 4-year-old.
Oh, I have three girls. So, okay. You know, and my sister has a boy and a girl. And so I've never had like male energy. It's all female energy in my house and it's crazy and hectic and loud and it's just insane. But I'm always very curious about raising three boys. And then you're the only female energy in the space. I have friends that have boys and they're always telling me like, I am going crazy. These men are disgusting. I always hear those comments from them and I'm like, I don't even know what that's like. You know, I have three little girls and they're like, they're also sometimes gross, but it's not, you know, it's just crazy. At the conversations that I have with boy moms, and it's always very interesting.
They're very smelly. They are definitely very smelly. And then they get older, and then you have to take a shower. It's been 2 days.
I have the same struggle, girl, and I have girls, so I get you.
And you have girls, yeah.
Well, I was looking through your profile a few weeks back, and you were talking about coaching with faith. And that just spoke so much to me. And I was like, I want to have a conversation with her. I want to know what that means, because that's the way I try to live my life. I always tell people that the only reason why I'm here and I'm still sane and I'm still going, it's because of my faith. It's because Amen. God is so good to me and he has not let go of me. Mm-hmm. And I am very grateful every day at the fact that I have any opportunity to keep walking with him. And, you know, I, as a leader, I try to also put that into my team. And sometimes I think it's a little bit of a touchy subject with some people. Whenever somebody shares something with me that they're going through a struggle, I try to always lead them to faith. But sometimes it's not easy to navigate. But I love what you're doing. I love how you are approaching this. And I want to learn more and I want to know everything that you're doing, because I think it's very beneficial for a lot of people.
Thank you so much for that. And I can mirror back exactly everything that you said. And for a long time, it was like, okay, well, if you let me talk to you about God, then I'm open to talking about God. And as I've gone through certain things in my life, it's just become more in the forefront. And I've realized I can't speak to a woman about success without mentioning it. Because then if this is true for me, then I'm going to do somebody a disservice by not mentioning it. So to just cut to the chase and get real with you ladies, I separated from my husband, my now ex-husband, when I was pregnant with my third child. And it was a period in my life in which I was, and you know, we're daughters of immigrants, so we know like this hard work and always hustle mode, 24/7, team, no sleep. That's who I was before I found out I was pregnant. So then when I found out I was pregnant, it was such a rocky point in my marriage that everything stopped for me. It's like all of a sudden I really had to face the music and I didn't know how. I was terrified because it's like now you have to make a really hard choice. What's your life going to look like after this point? And I found that I had lost all of my ambition. I didn't want to work anymore. And then there's the fear of what are people going to think about me, because you were someone that was a leader in your space and now all of a sudden you're in hiding. And that was really hard for me. And my faith took the forefront, because then I found myself, I was someone that I always said I was never going to get divorced. I told my ex-husband before them, like, we're going to work this out. No matter what happens, we are never getting a divorce. And then I was the one that asked for it. And then it also made me question my entire relationship with God. Because we know in the Bible, it says you don't get divorced. And I'm like, is God mad at me now? And on top of, is God mad at me now? What are people going to say? Which is so big in our culture. Even with my own parents being so old school, I didn't know who I was anymore. What was going to happen to me? Every time that someone would DM me to say something like, oh, you haven't posted your husband in a while, I would freeze. I didn't even want to open that message. So I was like in a shell period for a long time and questioning who I was, what I wanted, where I was going to go from here on out. And that's when I decided to really surrender. And I think that so many times we build our identity on how hard we work, all of the things that we do, the family we come from, the business that we're in, the career that we've built. And they're all beautiful things. But when one of those things comes crumbling down, which it's going to because it's life and things are going to change, or maybe we don't want certain things anymore, then who are we in the midst of that? And what helped me go through that is a period of just asking God every day, like, what do you want from me? I'm tired of doing things on my own, because I think that we have a way of planning what we want. We goal set and then we're like, Diosito, I want this, I want that. Can you please bless this, without ever having gone to him first? And I just got to a point that I was like, I give up. You tell me, and then I'll work from there. So we have a conference. I'm co-founder of the Dream Lab, and we do conferences for first-generation Latina women that are amazing. It's like Tony Robbins meets Bad Bunny. And at last year's conference, I ended it talking about my journey, talking about identity and how we need to be able to find our identity on something that's not going to be taken from us, something that's going to be unshakable. And a big thing for me is like, I work out every single day. I do personal development. I work on all these other pillars in my life. But how are we nourishing our soul? Because that's the only thing that's eternal.
Amen. That's true. Yes, I love what you said, because I feel like something similar happened to me when I started the closest journey that I've been to with God. It was at a point in my life where I felt, you know, during the pandemic, where I was like, well, if this is all taken from me, who am I? Who's behind? Like, you put your value on the things that you do and the things that you have, that you forget about your own value. And when those things are shaking so hard, and, you know, because it happens, like you're saying, then you're left like, what? You put your identity so much outside of you that when those things are taken from you, you're like, what's left? You know, do I even have value? Do I even matter? Am I even adding value to someone's life? I had these really tough questions within myself during that time. I was super depressed. And I remember one time my younger sister came and she was like, we should work out. Let's work out. And it was during the pandemic, and she came and we tried to work out, and I couldn't even breathe. Like, I couldn't even breathe. And I was like, what is going on with my life? Like, I can't even do any of this. All of this is taken. What's left? Like, I felt like a shell of a person. And if it wasn't because I held on so hard, and I approached my community at church, and we were talking about that, and it was really hard for me to understand that God loves me no matter what. And that was the one thing that was the hardest for me to understand. I remember one time I was in church and we were talking about God loves you no matter what, right? And I was like, I raised my hand and I was like, but what do I have to do? What are the steps? How do I earn this love, right? And they were like, no, Paulina, you don't have to earn it. It's given. And I was like, nah, I don't believe you. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I'm very confused. All my life I have to earn. So tell me what I have to do to earn this. And that transformation and understanding of knowing that nothing outside of me matter in my own identity towards God and the way he loves me and the way he sees me and what he wants for me in my life, that was such a change. Like, dramatically, it has changed who I am and how I view myself, how I talk about myself, how I put myself out there. And I try to tell people, like, it's just my relationship with God. It's just so simple, but so difficult at the same time, because we're not brought up that way. We're not brought up in a community with our spirituality. We not do that. And then when we're shaking to our very core, that's when things either get better or you just, like, boom, you just lose yourself. So I get what you're saying. I totally feel you. And I wish that everybody could feel that thing that I feel in my heart of what I think he wants for me. I don't know if that makes sense. And I think that's why it was so important for me to have you here today, so we can talk about those things. And what does it take? I want to tell people, like, you don't have to be at the bottom to get close to God. Don't wait to be at the bottom. But most of the times we wait until we're at the bottom, right, to do that. So with what you're doing is like, wait a minute. You don't have to get there. Let's start somewhere in the middle.
Right.
That's why I wanted to talk to you today.
I heard a quote that said, blessed is the wound that brings us closer to Christ. And I love that, because it does have to take sometimes us to be shaken to the core, so that we learn, like, wait a second, I can't depend on myself or what I think. And that's a big thing for me. I know that sometimes in the morning I have one thought, and by the afternoon I've completely changed my mind and I want to go in that direction. And it just goes to show how sometimes, like, our hearts are so undecided. And so that's why we need that bigger connection with God. I think that so many of us, so there's something called relationship, identity, mission, which is what I hope more people really get to understand, which is, first, we base our lives on the relationship that we have with God. That relationship is what informs who we are, what our gifting is. And then from there, we have a mission to go out into the world and serve people. And the reason that we struggle is that we start with the mission. Like, I'm going to do this and I want to be this. And then it's like, sometimes you spend your life trying to force everything else. So for me, I have these pillars, but even that, I'll be completely honest with you, even that I'm reevaluating. So for a long time, what's always kept my sanity through my divorce, through the pandemic, because then I was going through a divorce during the pandemic, and that was really stressing me out. there's just thoughts of like, I'll never have a life again. This is it. My life is over. Will I ever find anybody that could love me with three little boys? So my pillars are every day I'm going to work out because I need to move my body, not for vain purposes, although it helps, but just to get that energy out of my system. And I always feel more accomplished and more confident and even more creative when I'm working out. So that's a must for me. Then there's personal development, the renewal of my mindset, learning things that are going to expand my mindset. And then there's the faith aspect. I thought to myself, we tithe our money to the church. What does it look like if I tithe my time? And I know that we're all busy. I know, but prayer doesn't have to be something that's like, I'm going to sit here for an hour and I'm going to come up with the most beautiful prayer to God. But what it looks like is sometimes I'll put worship music on while I'm getting dressed. God cares about the disposition of our hearts. And even when I'm just on my way running errands in the car, it's a constant conversation with God. It's just simple. It's just to always, you know, like when you're dating someone and it's new and it's fresh and you just send the thinking about you text.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. Just as simple as that. And so the reason that I say that I'm even rethinking my pillars is that as Latinas and this work ethic that we have and thinking about how we are what we do, what happens if I can't pray the way that I want or I can't work out or something happens and it throws off my schedule? Right away, we start thinking to ourselves, am I worthy now?
I'm a failure.
I can't get anything right. I got to get control of my life. I got to get my stuff together. And it really messes with our heads. And so this idea of being a child of God, when we're told to have this childlike faith that's so simple, that doesn't have all of these rules and protocols, and we want to make our parents proud, for example, like I'm first generation Latina, work in the family business. I want to make my mom and dad proud and show them what we've accomplished. But besides that, in the relationship with our father as a child, what if we also gave ourselves permission to be that little toddler that breaks things, that spills something? And as parents, we still pick them up and we give them a big hug and a kiss no matter what they do, because that love is unconditional. So I'm trying to get to a place myself where it's not so much of, I'm doing all these things for you, God, but I'm just allowing myself to receive his love and know that he loves me exactly as I am in this moment.
Also, I think like recently I was reading an article about servant leadership. And that is a concept that I think really resonates with the work that you do, right? Because I think as leaderships, when we're like in companies and we're running businesses and we think that we always have to be humble and we have to like, oh my God, we always have to be like, you know, that our relationship with God means that we have to always sacrifice and we always have to think small and we always have to like see ourselves. But I read amazing articles lately about what it means to be servant leaders. And all of these servant leaders that I've read about are running incredible companies. And it's just of the way that they see their company and what their company can do for others and how that work that they're doing as leaders touches communities and people and families. And when I read about that concept about servant leadership, I was like, that's who I want to be. That's the kind of leader that I want to be. And I think people have this wrong. Like, God wants us to have everything that we want. It is written. It is written that he wants us to have all the wishes of our heart. He wants us to do more. He wants us because we are examples of who he is. So I want to be that kind of leader. And I read that concept and I've been thinking about that concept so much. And like, how do I apply that into my life? How do I apply that into my business? Because I feel like some people think that you have to separate those two, but you don't have to separate it because you're running that company. And when you work from that mindset of like servant leadership, I think things just come to you. Like you're more, when you're blessing other people, blessings come your way. And I really believe in that. And so at the end of last year, I had this long conversation with my husband about like what I had found out. Like, you know, we were having conversations, we were reading things. And I was like, I have to figure out a way that, you know, that is a bigger part into what I do because it has made such a big difference into my life. I want that for everyone else around me. So is that something that you, in your coaching, is that what you, that's what you do, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because anytime that we're touched by God, it's for other people. It's cliche, but your mess becomes your message. And you can tell that Jesus is working through you with the fruit that you bear. So my favorite parable in the Bible is the parable of the talents. The master that gave his servants a different amount of talents. And what were they told to do? Go out and do something with them. And it doesn't matter if there's one that had five, there's one that had three, but each of them went out and multiplied that. And that's what the master wanted. But that one that was scared and buried it, he was punished. And sometimes our fear holds us back from so many things that we want to do. But our purpose here, we're healed, we're transformed so that we can go out and be a blessing to others each and every time. That's the way that God works for other people in the blessings that he gives us in our lives.
That is so beautiful. I mean, in so many ways, just hearing you and really explaining being vulnerable, I think there's just so much bravery and speaking of what you're going through. And especially in the when you're speaking in a community of faith, because you're right, especially coming from a place where you're divorced, it does feel shameful in many places, I think, in the world. Church, school, are they not talking to me because now I'm the divorced woman in this class, you know, and everyone has families. But it's all really in your mind. I always tell people, like, girl, trust me, everyone's too caught up in their own shit to worry about you. Believe me. The moment you think someone's thinking, like, no, they're not. You know why? Because they have so much to deal with on themselves. And most of the time they're thinking about themselves. So why would they waste time thinking about you?
And can I tell you something? When I said that I was scared to open those DMs, when I finally felt healed enough to open them, they would ask me, how was the process? Because I think I need to do the same.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the same thing that it's happened to me when girlfriends call me and they tell me, oh, I like want to know what's going on. And then they start opening up and they say, I think that I want to do the same, but I'm scared. And I know the feeling of being fearful. I know it's so scary, and it's scary, but it's also being able to come out of that on the other side. I think it's a real privilege, and it takes a lot for you to be prepared. So I think that even just having women who are financially empowered allows women to make that decision for themselves. I know many women who don't have the privilege to leave because their fears are not just about people are going to think, their fears are, how am I going to feed my children? And I think when you're thinking about levels of fear, the fear of, are my kids going to be okay? Are people are going to think? And then what are they going to eat? When you're thinking about like a fundamental human need, it's very different. And it takes a lot for someone to leave. So I love, because you're empowering women in so many ways. You're allowing them to tap into their potential so they can be financially independent. So they choose so to make that decision. Not everyone is going to, or not anyone should, because it's a very hard process.
It is, yeah.
The ones that do though, man, like I don't know what would have been of me if I didn't have my savings. I don't know what that would have been like for me, or if I would have had, because those thoughts of who's going to love me again.
Yes.
Those are very, very real. Like, especially when the person that you were with keeps telling you, no one will love you the way that I love you, right? And you believe them, and knowing and being so faith-based is the hardest thing, because you're like, that's the man that God gave me. What have I done with what God gifted me? It's so hard to get out of that mindset. I think like even this week, and you have to constantly be reading things that really uplift you and really speak life into your life, and surround yourself with pastors that understand you and understand your circumstances. And so I think you're doing such a service to just women for and period in so many levels.
Yeah. And, you know, just listening to you saying all of that, it really shows that the first thing that you have to get in order is your mindset,
mm-hmm,
and your relationship with God. So then you can tackle everything else. It's not easy. Like I still go through problems that I'm like, okay, first renewal of my mind, my relationship with God. And then I have the confidence and the self-awareness to go and deal and tackle with the actual problems that come about. But that's the first line of defense. Because once you believe that you can do anything, then you can go out and do that thing.
100%. And you're justified. I think that's what our pastor was talking about this past weekend, about being justified. Like, God doesn't care what you've done. Every day is new for him. God will not judge you. God will not condemn you. God will continue to forgive you, because It's just how you explain it, Audrey. It's the same way that you forgave your child when, you know, my son could do anything, anything. Of course, it's my kid. I don't care what he does. I don't care if he murders somebody. I'm going to go hide with him. You know, I'm
like, you're going to go hide the body.
I forgive. Yeah, let's go. Not that we've done it. I'm just saying.
No, okay, no.
FBI, don't come for me. But, you know, that's, I think, where the message that you're giving women, especially in Latinas too, because as you were saying, we grow up in a different atmosphere, in a different community where, number one, I think that when I told my mom I was going to go forward with my divorce, you know, her first reaction was like, but what about the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that just stabs at your heart.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, obviously, but yes. But then I turned around and I was like, what about your kid? What about your daughter? And what about her happiness? You know, I think like once you understand that, it's like, really, how can you continue your life and wanting and continuing on the path that you know that God has set forth for you? You know, everything will be okay. But I think you need to be okay too.
Yeah. And nobody ever wants to divorce. It's not like you have a fight one day and you're like, I'm going to get divorced. No.
Yeah.
We think things over so many times. We pray about it so many times. And the fruit is in what happens afterwards. Like, my kids are doing great. I have a beautiful relationship with my ex-husband. We have a great co-parenting relationship. And it's because we put the kids first and our relationship with God first.
I love that.
And most of all, listening to what you're saying, Bidisa, it's also part of what I do is also tapping women into a community. Because maybe I don't have all the resources to help a woman, but I know other women in business that can. And we can't do anything alone. We need other women to support us on the journey.
Yeah. We're starting the new year. And I know like there's people that are going through everything all through the year. Doesn't matter where we are. But for someone that is going through something really hard right now, financially, emotionally, I love what you said. First, get your mind right. But also, what are some actionable items that people can take? What do you teach the people that you coach when they're going through those decisions? How do you be ready for those? I know you do a lot of financial literacy, all of that. And I love that it's faith-based because I'm even doing a devotional right now about time management. But I'm like, I want to know what it says. Like, what does the word say about this? That's been in my mind lately. But a lot of people don't understand that the answer to everything is there. And we just need to apply it. It's in the Bible. We need to apply it. Can you share some of those things that are there that you'd hold on to whenever you're going through rough times?
I have a verse on my wallpaper right now that says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I love you and I've called you by name. Isaiah 43:1.
I love Isaiah. My favorite book.
The book of consolation is everything. And being able to hold on to those verses, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to give us much more than we could ever ask for or imagine. So when we trust God in that way, we have to trust that God is going to give us everything else. But faith is not something that you can, and excuse my language, half-ass. It's either you say, I'm going to trust in God, or you don't. You can't be lukewarm. You can't have one foot in and one foot out.
You can't be half pregnant. That's what I always say.
You can't be half pregnant. So
you're either pregnant or you're not. Choose.
And what happens is that when you have that faith, then you show up to things differently. And to everything you do, you're going to show up to your workplace differently. You're going to show up to your family different. You're going to show up to how you deal with your finances differently. So right now, I'll be honest with you, I've been building a house for my family, and not only the cost of building the house, but furnishing the house and just watching all of my savings go. And that's terrifying. Girl. That is terrifying.
Tell me about it. I had to move. Like, I had to leave the house and like to start over from a zero. Like, I had a beautiful home that I've built for years. And to go and like have to buy everything and like move into a new place and freaking pillows I had to buy, you know, like just things like that. I'm like, what? Yeah. And then your bank account is just like,
Yes, yes. And that's terrifying. Yeah. But if I praise God in the same way when things are great and the money's coming into my bank account, I have to praise him in the same way when I see the money leaving the bank account.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the most important things, and of course it doesn't have to be with me, but get a coach. because a coach is going to call you out on the blind spots that you have, the areas in which you're making yourself a victim. Because when you allow that victim mentality in any place, like I think that as a single mom, it's easy to fall into a victim mentality. I'm the one that's responsible for picking up and dropping off my kids every day and then the after school activities. So I could easily say like, oh, this is so hard on me. Poor me. No, I made this choice and God is going to help me through these things. So just to have someone call you out on those thoughts, those areas in which you allow the enemy to come sow confusion into your mindset, that is going to make a world of a difference with how you deal with things. Because I can have the same problem on a day in which I'm allowing myself to feel like a victim, and that problem is going to vanquish me. But the moment that I'm really stepping out in faith and I'm looking at the size of my God and not the size of Goliath, I'm able to get through those things. So it's something that you cannot allow yourself to be shaken. You have to make that your foundation. It has to be your anchor every single day.
You have to make it your rock, you know, don't have a soft foundation. And let's talk about a little bit about the enemy, because I feel like it happens a lot when you're like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go and I'm ready and I have this mentality. The enemy comes and he starts putting things in your ear. Very subtly, very little. Something that I've learned with a lot of mentors in church is the enemy's always the same. He's always the same. He doesn't have new ways. God has many ways. The enemy has one way. And he knows it and he will repeat it over and over and over again. And so when somebody tries, or when I know that things, big things are coming, I know that I'm going to get attacked.
Yes.
Because that's the way that he does. That's the way that he acts. But we already know that. And like, he's going to come and he's going to tell you and he's going to put things in your ear. He's going to show you the news. He's going to show you trends. He's going to show you people. He's going to show you other people. He's going to show you, and he's going to try to like get you off and say, oh my God, no, it's not really working. Because when you're trying to get close to God, he's going to try to get you away from him. So that little voice of the enemy is always very similar time after time again. How do you catch yourself from those moments when the enemy comes and whispers in your ear, you know, when you're most empowered, I would say?
It takes discernment. And discernment is something that we really have to pray for, because it's very subtle. It's, his voice is very subtle.
Discernment. Explain what that word means for those. Not me. Obviously, I know what it means, but, you know, for other people.
Discernment is the ability to test the spirits. To know where something is coming from, to know if it's the voice of God or it's the voice of the enemy sometimes in our lives. So we pray for discernment, because if we read back in Genesis, the way that he spoke to Eve, it wasn't blatant. It wasn't bold. It was like, are you sure that's what God told you? Are you sure? Yeah. And it's so subtle. And that's the thing that happens with us. Like, we start a business, we start a new venture, and we're like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm confident in it. I've done my research. I have the backing. I'm ready to go. Are you sure you can do that? What makes you think that you're ready for that? And if we're not careful, if we're not grounded in scripture and who God says we are, we're going to feed into that voice on a day that, you know, we got some bad news on the business, things aren't going on our way, or we lost a client. We're going to give space to that voice to get deeper and take root in our heart.
That happens a lot. Yeah. When you see it and you're like, no, yeah, it's me. I was watching something yesterday regarding to what you said about Genesis and about when the enemy talked to Eve, and he said, don't you want to be like God? And then she was like, yeah, but we are made in God's image. We are already like him. We are already made in his image. So when he put that doubt on her mind, like, but don't you want to be like him? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, then I'm not. Then I'm separated. Then he's better. Then I'm not way. Then he, you know, then I need to do that more to be like God. And it's like, but we already made on his image. And I learned that a couple of days ago, and I was like, wow, I didn't even thought about that before.
I heard somebody say once that one of the most profound ways to pray is to just keep telling ourselves in our mind, I am the child, I am the beloved, I am a child of God, I am the beloved, I am a child of God. Because when we make everything that pure love, that trust, I think about it, my toddler helps me so much with that. When I see the way that he just trusts me, he wakes up in the morning and he just expects all of the good things. He expects that he's going to be fed and clothed, that he's going to have everything that he needs, and he doesn't have to worry about a thing. But what if we operated in that way? And in that magic, we see little kids have that enthusiasm for life, that magic that they just trust everything's going to be great and everything's going to work out. If we really allowed God to love us and receive that love without feeling like there's things that we need to do in order to earn it, and just trust in that belovedness, everything would change for us.
Thank you so much, Audrey, for being here. We so appreciate your time, your message, your word, your encouragement. For the Super Moms that want to get to know you more, work with you, where can they find you? Where can they get connected?
I am always on Instagram and I reply very quickly. I am at the Audrey Diaz. And you can also subscribe to my newsletter at alignedwithaudrey.com. I have the Aligned with Audrey podcast as well, where I speak to women about their own faith journeys.
I love it. I love it. We can talk for hours, but I want to be respectful of your time. I want to thank you so much for being here today, for just injecting that energy, that good energy, that faith into, I mean, in my heart, my sister's heart. And I'm sure that everyone that's listening, because we all need that message of hope. I think like if we don't have hope, we don't have anything. And we don't have faith, we don't have anything. So injecting that is very important nowadays and every time, every day. So I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for what you're doing. And continue to do what you're doing, please, because it's so important. And we can't wait to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me and for giving God this space.
Thank you.
Because he deserves all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
And we are back. That was honestly one of my favorite episodes that we've had. I think it combines everything that I am going through right now. I'm going to share with everybody. I want to be her friend. I want to be around her. I think like that's the kind of people that we need to be surrounded by. Do you have any pick or tips this week, sister? Anything that you're into? Anything that you're doing?
Yeah, I think that she was talking about just like a mantra or like a thing, right? Like a... What did she say? That I am worthy, right? She was saying something like that, that she kind of repeats that. I heard an interview with Rick Rubin, a podcast, and it's on the Huberman podcast, and I found it so inspiring. But he talked about meditation and this practice he was doing called Metta practice, M-E-T-T-A, which is sort of like this a meditation where you repeat certain words over and over and over again. And you do that for a couple of years. And then eventually it starts with like, may I be filled with love and kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. And you just continue repeating that over and over again. And he says that eventually after a couple of years, you start thinking like, may we be filled with love and kindness. May we be well. And then later it's more about like, may the world be filled. And so it's just really about get into the place where you believe those things innately, and then you can bring other people into it. And it was just very beautiful to hear. And I think that when she was talking about that, just really reminded me of that.
100%. Yeah. I think like you need to, at the beginning, you need to like really, when you're not in that space, you need to like really repeat it a lot until you actually believe it. That's the only way that you can marinate or, you know, make sense to you. I love that. I love that. Are you doing that right now? Is that what you're doing in the morning?
Yeah, I think I'm starting to do that. And it's just, and it's not like I'm doing it. I think that it's just there in my phone. And
yeah,
it's not like a particular time of day. You just take some time to just like really sit and believe this. But on the other side, I think this was the first episode when we like truly kind of spoke so openly about divorce and like the divorce process. And I think that one of the books that I really want to recommend to anyone, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about going through divorce or you're just in the beginning of divorce, this book was such a game changer for me, and not obviously very different from the spiritual side. And yes, you should definitely lean on your faith first. But this book that's called I Just Want This Done by Rayford Palmer, I got an audiobook version of it. And the best thing that you can do for yourself and both parties is please read this book. You have no idea how powerful it would be in the whole process of divorce. So that's my pick.
Yeah. Thank you for being open and vulnerable. I know this was the first time that we've spoken about it, and I know that's a very personal subject for you. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I think that tip is great for whoever's going through. My tip this week is also going to be something related to that. At those moments where I'm like, I want to have a full routine, you know, and I want to be doing a lot of reading. And there's sometimes that, but there's sometimes places where I don't know where to start. I think the simplest way that you can start this, and you don't know where to start reading the Bible if you want to read it, or you don't know where to, what it means, you don't know anything about it. The Bible app, which is my favorite, I open it every day. When you open it everywhere, there is something in Spanish, it's called Sustento Diario. In my app, it is in English, and my phone is in Spanish, and I don't know what it's called in English right now. But it's right at the beginning. You open the app, and it's the first thing that pops up, and it's one verse that you read. I am at a point in my journey where I read the whole chapter, but like if you're just starting, read that one verse. And then it has a little video where it explains to you what it means, how you can apply it to your life. And it gives you prompts. And then it gives you like a directed prayer. So all of that together, it takes about 10 minutes. But I think if you're starting in your journey of faith, that's something that could be really easily be achieved and done. You can do it. So it's just one verse, what it means, how do you apply it to your life? What does it mean? And then it teaches you how to pray. Because sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do it. It's just very simple. And that has been something that I have recommended to a lot of people. And then later they're like, oh, it was easy. And then you start building up, right? So the Bible app, Sustento Diario in Spanish, I don't know, Daily Sustento in English, I don't know, that you can read. And that's something that can nourish your soul every single day. Totally recommend it. And that's something that's very simple and right at your hand. That's it. Thank you for another episode, another week. And we will see you next week. Let us know what you think about this episode.
Share it with a friend.
Share it with a friend.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in el Face at Supermamas Podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week,
Supermama!